A maturing Christian learns to trust God. He has no need to covet what another possesses, for he trusts God to provide what he needs. And a maturing Christian learns to wait on God. He does not need enough wealth to guarantee all the tomorrows. It is enough for him to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Is there a deep desire in your heart to keep on growing to spiritual maturity? Would you pay most any price to be more like Jesus? Then consider this guideline set forth in Hebrews 13, verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Observe, there are two requirements and one promise in this verse. The first requirement is to conquer the desire for more, the command to conquer covetousness. The second requirement is to learn the grace of contentment, a command to live with ease of mind. The one promise is that the Lord will never leave you alone or forsake you in your need. What a blessed text. Let's investigate the meaning and make some practical application of those two imperatives and that one promise. First, guard against covetousness. You are acquainted with that envious desire for what belongs to another, aren't you? It is more than to wish you had something like what another has. It is rather the craving to have it and for him to have nothing like it. Well, no wonder God speaks so harshly against the sin of covetousness. The tenth of the great Ten Commandments which God gave by Moses is a prohibition against covetousness, saying, "Thou shalt not covet." There can be no mistake in its meaning. God strictly forbids us to desire that which belongs to another person. The prohibition of covetousness extends to all persons and things, for that full commandment reads, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." You see, neither person nor possession belonging to another is to be the object of your desire. Does that requirement seem too demanding? It will require death to all selfish ambitions for you to obey it. Consider this admonition found in Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6. "Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience." Yes, all selfish interests must be put to death to obey that command. Covetousness is like idolatry, the Bible warns. And that's why Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Conquer covetousness if you would be a maturing Christian. Then second, be content with God and His provisions. Take His words, "Be content with such things as you have," as God's personal instruction to you. Now, had you thought that discontent and murmuring about yourself and your circumstances is sin? That God ordains all things that come to your life? He has a purpose for everything, even some unpleasant things which you may prefer not to undergo. To be discontented is to rebel against what God ordains for you. There are many Bible passages which encourage you to exercise the spirit of contentment. Proverbs 15:16 says, "It's better to have only a little with a reverent heart toward God than to have much and to face life without Him." The Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. So having food and raiment, let us be content." People often think that if they just had more material treasures, they would be happy. They think that a larger house, a newer car, a better wardrobe, more profitable business and like things will make them happy. But not so. Joy is a spiritual matter which is largely unaffected by material things for the person who truly loves God. A person can be down and out, and we feel sorry for him because of all the things which he can lack. But a person can also be up and out. He has received what the world has to offer and still has an empty heart. We must heed the words of Jesus. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. A maturing Christian learns to trust God. He has no need to covet what another possesses, for he trusts God to provide what he needs. And a maturing Christian learns to wait on God. He does not need enough wealth to guarantee all the tomorrows. It is enough that he pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." You see, he knows that God will provide tomorrow's food when tomorrow has come. So here are the two requirements for spiritual growth: conquer covetousness and practice contentment. But you remember that with those two requirements, there comes a promise, and here it is: "I will never leave you or forsake you." So trust in the personal presence of God. That's absolutely essential if you would be a growing Christian. One of the great doctrines of the Christian faith is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and it may be summarized in this way. At your conversion, the Holy Spirit of God moved into your human spirit and took up a permanent residence there. Every moment since you came to Christ and was saved by His grace, God Himself has lived in your physical body by His indwelling Spirit. Every contact you have with God is through His Spirit. The Spirit teaches you, leads you, assures you, assists you in prayer, empowers you for service in the name of Christ, and 1,000 other ministries of grace. By His indwelling presence, God dwells with you always. "I will never leave you or forsake you." That's God's own personal promise to you. Claim it as your own. When you have Him, you have all you will ever need. In Christ Jesus, you've received everything necessary for you to live and be a godly person. So think about that. When you have Jesus, you have everything, and you are filled with God by your union with Christ. So the Christian need not covet anything. He has all the provisions he will ever need because he has God through Jesus Christ. Listen to this promise from Isaiah 54, verse 10. "The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on you." Oh, do not doubt his promise. The Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Believe in His faithfulness and rejoice." Father, thank you for this blessed passage of Scripture we've just reviewed. We promise to conquer covetousness and to practice patience. We rejoice in your promise to be with us all the way, never leaving or forsaking us even to the end of the age. So we claim your promise and we move forward by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.